Welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast, providing the tools and knowledge to help small business owners succeed. For additional resources, visit www.businessabundance.online.
Hello and welcome back to the Business Abundance Podcast. I am here with Rowan.
Hello.
And today we're going to be chatting about opportunities for you as a small business owner. Specifically, and I think we've mentioned it before, Blockbuster and what we can learn from this case study. I think it's pretty relevant considering it's kind of obvious, isn't it? That if you don't take hold of the opportunities, you're going to fall behind. You're not going to grow. You're going to be a bit stuck.
Possibly, yeah.
Likely. Yeah, I think change is good, personally. I think it's good for your self-development. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. But yeah, I think with Blockbuster, yes, it's a really big business, but the theory stands the same for small business owners.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about what happened?
I do. I was just trying to think of the movie name that came out a couple of years ago. And it's about the last Blockbuster store and like what they're trying to do to survive. And the whole town comes through and the landlord's trying to kick them out. But on the larger scheme, yeah, definitely. It was quite a success story turned into a catastrophe.
I remember Blockbuster, very fond memories. And I'm glad I was of the age that got to experience Blockbuster. But like on a Friday night, we would drive into the little town I lived in and we'd go pick up our legs and breast, which isn't here where we live anymore, which is so sad. But we'd pick it up, I'd have a little Hawaiian pack and we'd go sit in Blockbuster and there'd be like the new releases on the wall.
Yeah.
And you'd like go and you'd look through there and they'd be the coolest movies that you could possibly watch. But then they were too expensive because it was like $15 to rent that.
Yeah, for one night.
One night. But then you'd have to like go through the aisles of all the different parts. It'd be horror or be like action. And
yeah.
That was so cool. Oh, and then they had the popcorn by the stand and it was like the microwavable popcorn, but we couldn't get that because we didn't have a microwave. So, yeah, fond experience.
You didn't have
a microwave. You can heat it up on the stove. That was kind of the idea. But yeah, and then you'd take it home and you'd eat your little takeaway and then you'd watch the movie and then you'd have to give it back. And there was like that slot.
Yes.
That you had to like drop the movie into.
Yes.
Yeah, so fun.
Yeah.
That was good times.
I think I spent 3 times the amount of late fees than I did actual rentals. The one day ones I had to just change to the weekly rentals.
Yeah.
And just miss out on the new releases.
Oh, the new releases were always so good though.
Yeah, but just, the late fees were just bonkers.
I feel like the movies back then, just there was just something special about them when you saw them on the wall and you're like, gosh, I want to watch all of them because they're all so cool.
Yeah.
And that you'd wait so long for them to come out of the cinema before you could get them on movie.
Actually thinking about it now, just the enjoyment might not be the right word, maybe satisfaction of the process of going, okay, it's movie night tonight. Now we've got to go to the video shop and we'll walk around and that takes, you know, half an hour and then you've got to get your snacks and then you settle in. It's off you go. It's movie night. Like it makes the experience.
Yeah.
And I was just comparing that to, I've forgotten about, I haven't thought about this ever, but now what is it? So it's movie night. We go get our snacks, which doesn't take very long.
Could DoorDash it.
Yeah. We turn on Netflix and look through the save for later movies, Amazon, and still takes 15, 20 minutes to try to choose a movie. And they're generally not that good.
They don't look nearly as good.
No.
As what they look like on the wall.
Now you've explained it with the romantic tinge.
So fun. I have 2 siblings and we would all come with like 5 movies that we want to watch. So you'd have to like sit there negotiating which movie you're going to watch. But now you like look through movies and you're like, it's okay, I guess. I don't even know how long ago that was, but it makes me feel old now.
Yeah, it's pretty funny just, you know, having spent a few years with you that I can hear you telling stories of when you were a girl. Very hard for me not to just make old jokes.
Well, we were just talking about my style and how much I want to be stuck in my style. I want Blockbuster back. Bring it back. But today we're going to be chatting about the fall of Blockbuster, essentially. It was so good.
So now we're thinking like that was kind of cool. Well, why was it then so bad?
Because life changes.
Yeah.
New technology comes out.
Yeah. You didn't really want it. You say you want it, but you didn't really.
Well, I didn't actually have it. It's been a very recent thing for me, Netflix, and I refuse to buy a subscription.
I just did ads.
I refuse to buy a subscription, which means that maybe I'm just not that invested in it or I find value in other things like I love reading.
Yeah. We watch shows for the sake of watching shows. Mm. And then if you've got other hobbies, Claire's been reading. Claire's my wife. And then we're just not watching as many shows. But the shows we want to watch, it's like an event each week. But then all the other ones we normally watch, we just don't watch them. We don't care.
I'm watching such some better trashy shows just for the laughs, and I will not repeat what it is because I'll be bullied.
I've put my trashy shows on the podcast before.
Yeah, but this is not appropriate for podcasts. It's like
Love Island.
Love Island equivalent, just for the fun of it.
Yeah, no, it's nice to see some trash every now and then.
Yeah.
We're all human.
Yeah, yeah. No disrespect to those shows, but you watch it, it's entertaining.
Yeah. You're not watching it to increase your knowledge.
No. Anyway, completely off topic. Yeah, so Blockbuster, there's no Blockbuster anymore. As much as we were so fond of it and as much as we see the value in it now, it doesn't exist.
Go on.
And I guess for a little bit, we'll just unpack what happened. I think everyone who is listening probably knows what Blockbuster is, and we probably explained it, the video rental store. Now it has been replaced by platforms.
Streaming platforms.
Yeah, by Netflix, Binge, Amazon Prime, Stan.
Take your pick, Disney.
So many different things.
Video on demand.
Yeah, essentially. Yep. Now Blockbuster actually had the opportunity to purchase Netflix, from my understanding, and they didn't. They did launch their own digital streaming a lot later, but that obviously didn't work because Netflix had a much larger subscription base than they did, which is interesting considering Stan and Prime and all of those came up. Like Netflix was kind of that was the forefront, but then I feel like Stan and Binge and all those sort of things have come up behind Netflix and almost overtaken it.
I'm definitely the one leading the way.
Mm. Yeah, I think from my experience we're seeing, I don't know, I'm watching a lot of Binge at the moment, but they did launched their digital streaming much later, but it wasn't successful.
Blockbuster.com.
Is that what it was called? Was that an online platform where they sent out the movies to the homes?
I'm not sure what it actually did. I was just looking at the facts. I'm doing a little bit of a fact check. But the Netflix offered to sell 49% of Netflix to Blockbuster for $50 million. I haven't seriously fact checked this, but in exchange for running their brand online.
Yeah, okay.
The Blockbuster one. That would have been unfortunate in hindsight.
Mm.
But Blockbuster.com, not sure what it did, but trying to transition.
Yeah. Yeah, but then they also had frequent changes in leadership as I guess they, this is all speculation, scrambled to improve themselves. Then the physical stores obviously had their maintenance costs, which was not feasible considering the income wasn't coming on, and they had a significant reliance on late fees from people like you.
Which I didn't know she was going to say that.
And yeah, then there was the convenience of Netflix.
Yeah.
And so Blockbuster just dwindled away. I remember watching the Blockbuster stores close. It was kind of like chicken feed.
And if you didn't have Blockbuster near you, because you pretty much insert the name of your local video store, and we all would have experienced that.
Mm.
It's reasonably recent.
Yeah. And then you just don't see them anymore. They just closed down, transitioned to video streaming platforms, and that was it.
Yeah, I don't even have a DVD or a Blu-ray player or a video player or anything like that now. When the internet goes down, it's a pretty boring place.
Even though it's got
a lot of stuff to do.
Well, I was actually at my grandparents' house 2 weeks ago, and they have a cupboard full of really good quality DVDs. Yes. So good. And that was fun. Yeah, I'm glad the DVDs still exist. I remember when we had videotapes. They were.
You are old.
I know. Yep, I watched Lord of the Rings on those, but they don't exist anymore.
That went in on videotapes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we watched them, and then obviously, DVDs. But DVDs sort of don't really. They're not used anymore.
So we stayed in an accommodation place a few months back, and they just had like a library, and half the room was library, and half the room was DVDs.
Oh yeah.
And I watched a DVD that night.
That's pretty cool. It's quite sad.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because I suppose you get a bit of that environment back. Going through the shells and physically selecting stuff rather than on a screen. And then, you've got to go put it in the player, and then it makes whirring and buzzing and clunky. And
when the CD was scratched, devastating, because you're emotionally invested in watching this.
And it's got the little menu that pops up.
Yeah. And it's got the bloopers.
Yeah.
Got the bloopers. Oh,
kind of fun to read. Maybe it's like a classic car, you get the appreciation for it as a memory rather than the appreciation at the time, which is a bit of an annoyance.
So fun. Anyway, I think the vibe that we're getting here is that it was a very appreciated model.
Yeah, the model of the business, regardless of whether it's Blockbuster or someone else, you had your video store, you bought your stock, you could have the big, huge posters from the industry of what was, new release and what wasn't. People came in, it was a destination, they had a look around, they could grab up everything, and it was part of people's lives, massive part of everyone's, really.
Yeah.
And they owned real estate, owned some buildings, or they might have leased them, but they owned a spot, is what I'm talking about, in the city and in people's lives. And then they had those costs around that as well. But then at some point they had some market disruption, and were they willing to let go of what they've profited from for so long that's worked?
They would be confident that that would still work, I guess.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh, well, nothing will change what we've got.
We've got these values to our clients, and this is a place we are in society. But obviously, like, even though fond memories of it, we stopped using that service along with everyone else.
Yeah.
So they didn't, for whatever reason, change.
Yeah. And I guess I want to bring that bet down to smaller scale for our small business owners. You might think that your model in the past has worked, but it might not work for future because things will evolve, things will get easier, more convenient. You've got to listen to your customers, essentially.
Yeah.
I heard a good quote, and it was, I think it's very obvious, but the past will not predict your future.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, so I think that's probably the theme of today.
Sometimes, and I suppose it's like a judgment call, because it could have been that new technology and disruption didn't take off.
Yeah.
Maybe the production companies didn't allow that subscription licensing, because that was a huge thing with Spotify. I think we talked about it before too, but they had a huge issue of how are the musicians and how are the record companies the record companies fundamentally were profiting the most.
Yep.
How are they still getting paid? And then so if that couldn't be solved, there was no product. So they had a bit of a judgment call, I guess. They could have, doing could nothing have could have been the right answer. Yeah, could have tested. Well, just thinking about what you said then, tested, but like what could have you have done if you were focusing on your customers? We talk about thinking about what the customers want, and they go, okay, well, we are this and this and this, and these are all great values. This is why we're successful. That's cool. But would our customers prefer, could we be doing more for them?
Yeah, instead of just staying stagnant.
Yeah, and that might be improving things, but if we're doing more, okay, we've got the internet, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Rather than here's our competitive advantage over everyone. They might have been trying to pioneer like what Netflix were doing.
Yeah.
Whereas they probably weren't focusing on that regard of how can we do this the best? How can we do this the best and protect what we've got at the same time?
Yeah.
Which comes back to like the monkey bar theory of you've got to let go to move forward. Translate that for yourself. You know, when you're going across the monkey bars, you can't go across them unless you actually let go with one of your hands to go to the next rung. So they've got their physical assets and a whole money-making machine. If they're not prepared to let go of some of that to get to a better spot, then they're never going to get across the monkey bars.
Yeah. I think even easier than just assuming what customers need is to actually ask them.
Yeah.
Hear from them. They had enough capital to probably do, groups.
Would have been doing them.
Yeah, well, should listen.
Well, who knows what the group said as well, and we're asking the question.
That's true. Yeah. Get feedback from your customers. You want honest feedback. So I think it's easy to ask a customer. I guess a good test that we have is if they're willing to write a review, then they're happy with the services we're providing.
Yep.
And then they're people that we can go to for trusted
good feedback. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily want feedback to about your future from clients that don't like what you do, because it might be that you're not good at it, but it might just be they don't get it or they want something that you don't do yourself. Feedbacks and listening is very important.
Yep.
But like with Blockbuster, Netflix, they were physical DVDs as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was a postal service.
Yeah.
I remember thinking about that at the time. My boss, he got them. Never had late fees. I was sitting on his desk. I'm like, makes sense. He would browse it on the computer and figure out what he wanted. It was a bit of a process because you had to wait for it to come. You had a lot of that excitement you had from going to the store, but just in a different way.
Yeah.
And the big thing was the late fees.
It's a pain point for customers, though.
Just to get there in your car.
Yeah, literally. But that would frustrate customers. Blockbuster relies on it. So you're doing something that annoys customers.
To make money.
Yeah, not ideal.
So if we're talking about that, and you said that they relied on that income, that's true, then that's not in their customer's best interest to be charging them late fees.
Nope.
So that's probably the model of they're a part of the society, they're part of the institution, they're part of the framework of the town, but then they're profiteering from their position, not from their value, which definitely would mean consumers, if they're given a choice where they have more control and less punishment, then, you know, which way are you going to go?
So I guess the self-reflection question at this time would be, are you relying on something that annoys your customers in order to run your business?
Yep.
Take some time to have a think about that one, everyone.
Yeah. So you definitely, if that's something in your business, then that could be taken away from you at any point.
Mm-hmm. So then I guess embracing change and innovation being probably one of the other prominent learnings from this is that you need to be willing to adapt your business model. So let's just say that they are relying on late fees. They get the feedback that's annoying. And then they need to change that because they realize that that's a pain point. They're relying on it. What does that change look like? They know that the internet's coming up. Well, Netflix.
Yeah, there's a big jump though, if you think about it. Mm. Okay, well, if we get rid of late fees and that's a huge amount of income, does that mean we need more income from our rental fees?
Become a real estate market, a real estate pioneer.
But then if our
rental
fees are higher, then are they going to the video shop down the road?
Mm-hmm.
Which means then we're losing customers and we're not getting late fees.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a double loss there. But then if we've got to go to online streaming, like we just don't even understand that. Like how do you build the online stream? How does that work? How do you get there's a huge path to go down there.
But you can invest in the new technology and invest, which is what I was saying just before, investing in research and a bit of development, just apply R&D. A little bit of your budget for a bit of
future.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spot on. So that's, you know, that's something they might have been doing, might not have, but it didn't work out for them, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you've had this model that's been successful so long, making money, giving it to the shareholders, you know, should have you been taking a big chunk of that and investing in stuff that might never work just to see what happens?
Yeah.
And the answer probably is yes.
Yeah. Some of my favorite clients that we work with aren't really afraid to experiment with what they do.
Yep.
And then if it doesn't work, they're happy to call a loss a loss. But if it does work, you see them move forward in great strides, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And I love working with those people because it just makes things a bit, well, you see them achieve what they want to achieve and you're just helping them along the way.
Yeah. Everyone likes kicking goals too.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a bit boring when you're just doing the same old, same old.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people want to grow, and in growing, you need to try new things. Some things won't work, but you need to be willing to take that risk and do it in the smartest way possible. Don't apply your whole budget to it. Just apply a little bit and see how it goes. Yeah. So then when it comes to keeping an eye out for new opportunities, we want to look at being prepared enough to act quickly. Now, what would you say that looks like?
I just think about what I would do. You've always got priorities. I guess it's just a matter of you've always got things to do. There's something that's urgent. But if there's something more urgent coming in, you just got to be flexible and be able to change.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds pretty simple, but, you know, if something is important today and then something else comes in that's more important, then, you know, just rejig it and work on it. And then I think just there's too much planning and there's too much change.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't hurt to go through, hey, is what we're doing, does that make sense?
Yep.
And should we maybe be doing something else? Like, is there something better? Does it matter if we don't do this or it's a failure or whatever and we change? I think it's just being able to, when you see something, prioritize it. Because there are a lot of people that there's a new shiny object and they go down that hole. And you would say, the clients we've got, it's not that important from a big picture. It's not really going to make them any money, but they still go down because it's shiny.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been able to identify what the, you know, being pretty clear about measuring what the impact of things are or the potential.
Yeah. And then even before that, making sure that you're like financially prepared should an opportunity come up.
Yeah, correct. These, like, you can have ways to keep decisions a bit clearer as well. You've got a risk and reward, I guess. So what's the worst thing that can happen and what's the best thing that can happen? And then, you know, probably you're going to sit in there somewhere in the middle. But if you look at that, there's a very high chance that this will be successful, but success isn't worth that much.
Yeah, that's fair.
okay, yeah. And then you've got a project, there's a low to medium chance of this being successful, but the rewards will be fantastic. So yeah. Like which of those decisions, or there's a high chance of this being successful and it's going to be great if it's successful, but if we're not successful, there's a massive effect on us.
Yeah.
It's like going to ruin us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't do that. Or maybe do that if you're really willing.
Yeah. And then you can just look down, okay, well, where do I sit? What do I want? What can I do to mitigate the risk or ensure success?
Yeah.
And should I do that or should I not?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to be up to date. You don't have to change. But I think the point is, it's always looking at your options and opportunities and being aware that, yeah, this is for us, this is not. And mm-hmm. when something should change, then you're able to make that.
I feel like the people in small business already have an appetite for risk. I mean, they wouldn't have gone into small business without it. There's always a risk with opening up your own business. And so I'd probably encourage them to carry on that idea throughout their business. It might be making money, but if you're wanting to look long term, things might change and you need to be prepared for that.
Yeah. With small businesses, yeah, they're a bit more on the risk side than most people because they've started their own business. But then if you think about it, from businesses' point of view, they're very much risk averse because most small businesses are doing something that a lot of other small businesses are doing.
Yeah, that's true.
And can you really define what makes you unique that actually means something?
Mm.
And like, who can answer the question, how am I going to be the next Blockbuster? And I don't mean the failure, but the success. And if you were fully keen to take on a risk, that would be your plan. But yeah, most small business owners probably just say, oh, this is what we do. This is the market. And that's probably where we're talking about Blockbuster's failure has been important for small businesses because they're going, we're here, we're happy in our spot. That will never change, but it could change overnight and you need to always be progressing.
Yeah.
If you're doing that, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah. It makes me think of like people's unique value proposition.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know what Blockbuster's was.
Okay.
Because if it was to provide an in-person experience, then that was sort of the end of their road naturally, which, I mean, you can't be too disappointed by. But if it was to provide a communal experience for families to enjoy, or like a bonding experience for families to enjoy, for example, then yeah, absolutely, they could have adapted but still held to what they wanted to achieve as a business.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess it all depends on what it was and what that looked like. Which is also very important for small business owners in understanding that, because that will be the foundation for everything that they do. Sort of the mission, vision sort of argument. If you know what you want to achieve in the grand scheme of things, it'll be easier to adapt around that because yep. you're not known for a product or service, you're known for an experience.
Yeah. I just think like when you're talking about that, you know, what should Blockbuster have thought about forgetting and not knowing what their proposition was, what they did. And that probably changed as they went through. They would have had new research and they would change it up a little bit. But fundamentally, if I'm thinking about it, I'm going, well, they're basically bringing entertainment into people's homes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that allows family experiences or dates or whatever. It's an escape for them.
Yeah.
But it's an event in your house. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing. So, yeah, if they stuck to that, and I talk about higher purpose, you can't really hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And not it's pie in the sky, we can't achieve it because it's ridiculous, but you can be doing it, but it doesn't mean you could change what you're doing and still be doing it. So higher purpose for them could have been, you know, if a movie's an escape, it's a different, you have, like I said, fantasy or horror.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really bringing entertainment to the home. It's bring the world to your home, or I don't know, like you'd be framing it like that. It's like they're bringing another world into your home.
Yeah.
And if they stuck to that, there's so many things they could have done.
Yeah.
And they had so many customers and such a huge customer database that even if it didn't look like what Blockbuster was, they should have at some point been able to change with that huge asset.
Mm.
And still been able to, you've got fond memories of the name, a Blockbuster. If you bring a Blockbuster into someone's home, that still sounds super cool.
Yeah.
And they could have done that. But it's just a shame, obviously, they're making the decisions. So learning for a small business is not just we're a video rental store. You know, we bring in the entertainment into your home and we do this in these ways and blah, blah, blah. And we're a part of your life and it all sounds nice. But what's that bigger purpose that even if the market completely changed, you can still do for your customers?
Yeah.
You know, that's good because if you're okay with that purpose, then it doesn't matter if you're doing video rentals or you're doing something else. You'll still enjoy the business. You'll still be happy with what it does and the customers will still deal with it.
Yeah. I'd love them to come back. Honestly, I feel like there is still a space. Like, I know bookstores and everything are making a bit of a return. People are trying to bring people back into stores, so they're trying all those things.
Bookstore is shut.
That's so sad. But
didn't even know there was still one.
I feel like I'd love for them to come back, and I hope they do eventually if the business isn't completely.
I feel like it'll be like the hipster. Hipster's the term we're looking for.
Yes.
You know, you got the hipster cafe fad. You know, that's going to be the book thing in the future.
And I think so too.
But
it'd be an experience, a place for people to meet. Like, I know movie clubs and those sort of things still exist.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see why not. I reckon they can come back. They'll learn something and bring it back.
I think we were talking about something else the other day, the connection. People still want to deal with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it all went remote and now people are sort of going back into the offices because customers just want to see. But they were talking about how their service became different because people used to remote or phone calls and just not seeing people.
Yep.
But now he was finding he's had a lot more success just being able to see people.
Yeah.
Like, that was a massive competitive difference. Like, mm-hmm. that's never changed. People like dealing with people and they like that atmosphere, the environment. That's what you're fondly remembering.
Yeah.
So some of those other things, the movie club, well, that sounds fantastic. Is there a market for that? Is there a market for putting together an event every week, turning into something special that people are keen to come looking forward to during the week and can make a part of their lives? Might be something else.
Yeah.
But it's those feelings that people still have that you're trying to appeal to.
Yeah. Which just is simply learned from listening to customers.
Yeah.
Which is
straightforward. And when they stop buying it.
Change.
Yeah.
That's good learning from Blockbuster. Such a fond memory. Maybe next time we'll do chicken feed.
Feed.
I love chicken feed too. But yeah, if you're a small business owner listening, I would just encourage you to consider what your risk appetite is. And if you've heard from your customer base that they would not prefer something else, but they're leaning toward, they say, yeah, this product or service is good, but it would be better if you did this, I would really encourage you to listen in. Could build your business more than you would have ever hoped.
Nice.
So with that, we will sign off and we'll see you in another episode.
Until next time.
Bye.